How do the big grain stocks in the from the last report balance out with some of the resolution to trade issues?
Yeah, we saw it was really bearish with the grain stocks. Both the corn and soybeans were much higher than market expectations, and it's leading to a higher carry in this marketing year. And with this, huge crop, where it looked like we're putting in both corn and soybeans, supply is going to be very high in the 18-19 marketing year. Now the resolution, or what looks like the resolution to NAFTA or USMCA, it's not been approved yet, but that is a positive development. But we really hadn't seen corn in particular exports slack off too much to Mexico and Canada anyway. So I think it's going to be a positive development overall. But for soybeans, the China issue is still hanging over us, even though we've seen really strong soybean exports over the last part of the previous marketing year. We've seen them sort of tail off as we've started this marketing year, as China sort of left our market. So overall, higher stocks with what looks like possibly record yields in both corn and soybeans leads to really very high supplies, which is going to make our margins even tighter in 18-19 despite this possible resolution to NAFTA.
Of course, here we are on the eve of another report coming out. Are you anticipating big supplies or any changes?
I think you might see some harvested acres come out, and corn and soybeans, we've had some rough weather, but that's sort of iffy. I think the soybean yield might go 53 or above nationally. I've heard reports, and I think everybody's heard reports of upwards of 54. I'm not sure it's going to hit that number. I'm still maybe one of the few people in the country that think that 181.3 on corn might be a little bit high, but anywhere close to that's still a really large crop this year in corn, with the kind of carry out of 2.14 billion bushels we have. So I think what you'll see maybe some changes in use category on corn. The higher, much higher than expected stocks for corn in 17-18, it's going to lead to a significant downward revision in feed and residual. And I don't know if they'll adjust it for 18-19, but they've been a little high the last few years. What I think, corn's cheap right now, a relatively cheap feed grain. We may see them up exports a little bit, and with this resolution, what looks like possible resolution E15, we might see some expansion in ethanol use for corn in 2018-19. So still strong use in corn. I'm worried about soybean exports, and I think margins are going to be tight, so marketing is going to be really important as we move through this next year.
It was a significant day yesterday as far as E15 is, or ethanol in general, because of that E15 announcement. What's your take on that announcement and what it will do for the market?
It's really hard for me to say right now, Tom, what E15 is going to do. Basically, we're going to have to wait till next summer to see the actual expansion and blending in E15, because that's what, to my understanding, the rule change is all about, allowing year-round blending in E15. Right now, E15 is not a huge consumer of corn for ethanol. It's not a huge portion of ethanol that goes into fuel. Most of it's E10. I think there's maybe been some confusion about E10 to E15, or turning E10 into E15. That's not what is going to happen. E15 pumps, there aren't too terribly many. Will we see investment and expansion in E15 pumps and consumers moving to more E15 gasoline use? I'm really uncertain about that right now, Tom. It won't hurt to have the E15 go year-round for those that currently use it. I don't think it's in the long run going to be a substitute or take the place of E10. I just don't think there's a demand for that. So it might help some corn use through the summer months for ethanol, but it doesn't hurt. I'll say that for corn, and that's sort of my take on it. But there's still a lot of uncertainty moving forward, so we'll see how it turns out.
How do harvest delays play into this because of the rain lately?
Well, we're seeing it all across the Corn Belt, particularly in northern parts of Illinois and parts of Missouri and Iowa. All over the Corn Belt, we've seen harvest delayed. We could see it take some off of it, off the final yield, but I'm not I'm not betting any money on that. I think we're going to have some pretty good crops this year, and it might help with supply problems at local elevators or delivery points, because these crops are huge and there's a lot of corns and beans coming in. So it may allow those places to, you know, have a little more space and move them around a bit. But I don't think it's going to, one, impact yield enough to move price, or two, help the basis anytime soon.
Crush and export estimates, you had talked about those in this article. They're just about, just over a couple of billion bushels each. What's that doing overall to the market?
Well, crush has been at a record pace this year, and, you know, we've seen soybean oil recover just a little bit. You know, meal went through that long fall after the implementation of the tariff. So I think that crush number of 2.07 billion bushels is probably close. I don't know if they'll expand it too much, and we have seen more crush capacity come on in the country. I'm not sure how much more of 2.07 billion we do. So they might raise it a little bit, but I think for the WASDE report tomorrow, they're going to stay pat on both soybean uses pretty much. We've got off to a slow start in soybean exports. We're lagging behind in outstanding sales and accumulated exports thus far this year by about 13%. And that's all China. We've seen really strong soybean exports to Mexico and places like Pakistan and, you know, a lot of Japan. But we've really been, they're not making up for the China loss that we normally see this time of year. Now, you know, we have seen the spread between Brazilian export prices and U.S. export prices get wider and wider. I think it should encapsulate most of the tariff difference right now, but I don't see Chinese buying coming in recently. Maybe they'll come in, but I'm not sure about that right now. So at 2.06, my calculations, I'm a little bit lower than that on marketing your exports, but any kind of resolution to this trade issue will change the dynamics of the market overall. So we're looking at a large soybean supply this year with these tariffs depressing exports below what we would expect to see. And, you know, we're sort of, I think, limited on crush upside to make up the difference. So, yeah, we're sort of in a stasis kind of period for soybeans, in my opinion, and I don't think you'll see huge changes in the WASDE numbers tomorrow.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, too, finally, Todd, what else you might have to say about these reports that are coming out tomorrow. Is there anything front of mind for you that you're anticipating that could change in those reports?
I will tell you, the first thing I'm going to look at is what they do with their feed and residual projections next year and the yield. I'm curious about the corn yield in particular and where the soybean yield came out. I feel like the soybean crop's a big one this year, and I'm anxious to see what that corn yield number is going to be. But I think you'll see some expansion in use categories on corn and not a lot of change in use categories on soybeans. If there are changes, I think they'll be slight. So, in front of mind, that's what I'm looking forward to tomorrow.